Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere. Like when your fantasy league meets up at your house. Everything's great until the hot plate gets too hot for the tablecloth. Now your kitchen's up in smoke. And if you don't have the right home insurance coverage, the cost to fix this is anything but a fantasy. So switch to Allstate, save money, and get protected from mayhem like this. Not available in every state. Based on coverage selected, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Savings vary.
9 Plus Us presents the Baseball Together podcast with your hosts, Blackjack Brad and Kansas City Little Big Briggy Blue Eyes. And now, Baseball Together.
Welcome back, baseball family, to another episode of the Baseball Together podcast. We hope you guys have had wonderful holiday celebrations up until now and that you are preparing to have a wonderful, happy new year. Brad and I decided that because of the holidays, this week, we're going to give you a special edition of the podcast. This episode is the rundown of rundowns, where we take all the interview rundowns we've done throughout the year and we compile them into one flaming hot, rapid-fire Q&A session episode. It's a lot of fun. Hopefully, you get some great memories out of this like we did. Don't forget, we will be back next Tuesday, actually. We'll be here next Tuesday morning. Ready to talk hot stove. There's been a lot of happenings. A lot of stuff has gone down. But for now, enjoy the rundowns, and we'll catch you next week.
Welcome back, baseball family. Today, we have a very special guest we're very excited about. We have Jesse Cole, the owner of the Savannah Bananas. That's right. Brig and I, huge Bananas fans, along with, I'm sure, most of you listeners. Welcome, Jesse. How are you today?
Great, guys. Fired up to be with you.
Excellent. We're excited. All right. So like the same treatment we give all of our guests, Jesse's going to get a rundown. So we're going to get started here with the first question. Jesse, my first question for you is, what is your quest?
My quest is to reimagine and revolutionize the game of baseball.
Awesome. What is your favorite color?
Even my kids know that, and I have toddlers. Yellow, 1,000%. Nice.
If the Savannah Bananas were a beverage, what would they be?
Ooh, we already have that. It's our banana cream soda. It's delicious.
That sounds delicious.
Awesome.
Oh my gosh. Now, real quick follow up: are you going to be selling that? Are you bringing that with you on the world tour, or is that a Savannah exclusive?
For a lot of the cities, we can.
Awesome.
Sweet.
Very cool. If baseball were a song, Jesse, what would it be?
Opera.
Oh, yes.
That's fantastic.
We've never had that answer.
And I think he's right, Brig. Excellent. What is one unpopular baseball opinion that you have?
I'm the only owner of a baseball team that will say baseball is too long, too slow, too boring. So I know it's unpopular with a lot of baseball fans, but I'm sticking to it.
Yeah. I think it's awesome. Next question. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
There's a lot of ways to answer that, but I'm actually going to go with my biggest hero, my actual dad, Kerry Cole, who just turned 74 years old. And what does he do? He inspires me every day. He's the most positive person in the world. And every day he shows up and ready to have fun. And he used to want to always approach baseball as act like you've done it before. But now he's like, Jesse, whatever you're doing, just keep doing it. Keep bringing fun to the game. So I'm still just a kid trying to make my dad proud.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. So good. All right. You were a pitcher, right?
Yes. Thank you for the kind words. Yes. I tried to pitch. Yes.
I understand that. Who is one major leaguer you would be able to strike out today?
Well, I actually struck out some major leaguers. So, very fortunate. So I pitched at Wofford College Division I school and we played South Carolina regularly. So I struck out Steve Pierce, obviously with the Red Sox, won the World Series there. Let me see. I struck out a few other, maybe Landon Powell. Let me see. Justin Smoke. Nope. He popped up in foul territory on a 1-2 changeup. But I've got out some major leaguers back in college back in the day.
Nice.
That's nice. Wonderful. All right. My last question is, besides original, what is your favorite sunflower seed flavor?
I do not choose sunflower seeds. I have one rule when it comes to food. I don't do any food that takes work. Like any food that like you have like bones, like wings with bones, it's just too much work for me. Give me the food so I can eat everything off my plate. Sunflower seeds, you got to do all the work inside. It's too much for me.
It's awesome.
I get it.
We've heard, yeah. Yeah. That's not an unpopular opinion.
Very common. All right, that's our rundown. Let's take a short break. When we get back, we're going to get into some of the, I guess some of the weeds or whatever. I don't know. We'll get into it, Jesse. Welcome back, baseball family. Today we have another very special guest. We have David Page. He is the creator of one of my favorite shows, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and also the author of the book Food Americana. He's a food guy, so we're going to end up talking about stadium food because Brig and I are always talking about it. We love it so much, so we're going to get into that later. But first, we're going to give him the same treatment we give all of our guests. He's going to get a rundown. So, David, my first question for you is, what is your quest?
My quest? To be creative. I've been in journalism in some way for a half a century. I started in radio. I recently returned to radio. I'm doing a syndicated radio show. I just need to be creative. And I'm not one for hobbies. I'm one for avocations. The things that I like to do, that's what I do.
Man. That was, love it. I so felt much. That deeply. That's how I feel.
Did I make David, you shudder?
Yeah. Okay. David, what is your favorite color?
Orange.
Ooh,
I like had to think about it.
Yeah.
All right. We were talking before, you talked about your Red Sox fan, correct?
Oh, yeah. But see, I was a Red Sox fan when it was painful. I was a Red Sox fan before Theo. Right. Now, my big year, I was 12 or 13 in 1967 when Yastrzemski had that year, which, by the way, is still the second highest single season OPS to the Babe. That was my year. Now, I'm also a baseball fan in general, although the strike took a bit away from my love of the game. Nonetheless, when I lived in Minnesota, when I was doing Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, we were living in Minnesota. My production company was there. And I actually bought on the company dime so I could, you know, say, here you go, you go, you go, the ridiculous super-duper seats in the special section behind home plate where you get valet parking and access behind you to the food and the club. That was the year they lost 99 games. So I couldn't give the damn tickets away.
Oh, no.
That was $30,000 down the drain.
Gosh.
Yeah. But great seats, great food.
So real quick, though, I'm going to deviate from the rundown real quick. So was that at Target Field, right?
Yeah, it was the first or second year. I think it was the first year Target Field was
open. Did they have that secret cafe or whatever under the first base, like behind the first base dugout? Did they have not that? Right. It's under the seats.
Well, the club that goes with the super duper seats actually is pretty extensive. And I guess under the seats, because when you walk through one of the entrances there to the field, you pass the indoor batting cage that the players use.
Okay. That might be the one because I actually went and covered a game there as part of a journalism conference, and they took us like this back way under the stadium to get to the field.
That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was like, man, this is like the coolest thing I've ever seen.
No, the thing that was really cool is you had valet parking. So you drive up to the door to this club and you just drop your car. And then you'd go in and eat and see the game and come back. It was fantastic. It was just great.
That's awesome.
Valet's the only way to go.
It really is.
You know, it's funny. It's funny because a lot of the reason people don't go to games as much in suburban areas, you know, it's different in like Chicago, you get on the L. But there's this whole calculus, you know, where do I park? What does it cost? What's the rush going to be? Do I have to leave at the seventh inning? All of that stuff really plays into it in a way it doesn't in Boston, for example. You know.
Yep. Yeah. In Seattle, you're guaranteed to be tripled parked, so you can't leave till the game's over.
Yeah, that It takes the fun out of so much. But look, I grew up in New York, so my grandfather would take me to the old Yankee Stadium and we'd go by train. And, you know, you walk out and there it is and hoo-ha, everything's wonderful. Which is, you know, I prefer baseball as a close-by sport, but reality's reality.
Yeah.
Although there's nothing like walking up that hill on Boylston and the Citgo sign. I don't know if the sign's still there. It might have gone down. The Citgo sign is there. It's like a national landmark. That when you were a kid, that's something special.
When you know. Okay, so let's go back to the Red Sox real quick. If the Red Sox were a beverage, what would they be?
Well, in my day, they would mostly have been flat ginger ale because they couldn't do anything. Today, they'd be a designer fizzy water because of the way they implemented science to improve on tradition.
Excellent. Is there a maximum age? Like, is there a ceiling on the age at which it's appropriate to take a baseball glove to a baseball game?
112.
Yes.
I think that sounds about right.
But you got to be, if you're an adult, you got to do what I saw that guy do the other day. If you catch a fly, you have to give it to a kid. You don't get to take it home.
That's right. That is the correct answer. 100%.
Love it.
What is one unpopular opinion you have?
That the television coverage of Roe versus Wade, despite the fact that I'm extremely liberal and was deeply dismayed by that decision, I thought the coverage was skewed heavily against the folks who wanted to ban abortion. I don't believe in the conspiracy theories that mainstream media is liberally skewed on purpose, but I think the story, so many of the people covering it are of my political persuasion and were so angry that day that nobody did a piece allowing the folks who won to exult in the victory and to explain that for them, this was a great moral step forward. Everything else said it's a step backward, which I happen to believe, not to get political on a baseball podcast, but I thought the coverage sucked.
Yeah, we lament that a lot with journalism backgrounds as well.
Yeah, I just, you know, I worked in the Middle East a lot. I'm a very pro-Israeli Jew. I had to filter all of that out and make doubly sure that my coverage of the Israeli-Palestinian conflicts was objective as hell. I was part of a documentary that pretty much kicked Israel in the behind for this was 20 years after the Six-Day War, for what was happening to the country in terms of treatment of the Palestinians. If you're a journalist, I'm getting real serious here on a baseball podcast, but if you're a journalist, you've got to check your personal opinions at the door. And I just didn't think that happened the other day.
You're a celebrity guest on a game show. What show are you on?
Hollywood Squares.
Are you the middle square or are you a peripheral?
No, I'm right next to Paul Lynde. No, pardon me. No one has ever been better than Paul Lynde, but I want to be next to him so we can kibitz during the breaks.
Awesome.
What is the best baseball movie ever made?
Oh, Field of Dreams, of course.
Awesome.
I found The Natural unsatisfying.
Ooh.
Brig has an opinion on that.
Deep cut. We'll get to that in a minute.
Okay.
If baseball were an ice cream flavor, David, what would it be?
Coffee. Basically generic, but with a little bit of zing.
I like it.
Love it.
But I only have two flavors in my freezer, vanilla and coffee.
There you go. And we actually get vanilla a lot.
Well, look, vanilla's good. When you're when you're sitting around at night watching something on streaming, pardon me,
And you look at your wife and say, you want a little ice cream to justify your having the ice cream. You know, you can't, you don't want Chunky Monkey. That's
it's a little heavy for 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
What is your walk-up song?
Back in the USSR, but only because I have a personal connection to that song. When I first started Network News in Chicago, this was before the days when everyone had a satellite and you could feed video from everywhere. So we pretty much were in a Learjet at least two or three times a week going to some story, you know, in Iowa. And the first time I got into the Lear, the cameraman, who later went on to become George Bush's lighting director, and was a great guy, Bobby DeServi. He put the A-track. He put the A-track in the player and timed the takeoff roll sound in Back to the USSR to our takeoff roll in the Lear. And he would do that every time. So it's my favorite. That's my walk-up song.
Nice. That's awesome.
I love it.
My last question, and I think maybe Brad has one more. How would the baseball be different right now, or even America's relationship with it, if the Dodgers had not left Brooklyn?
I don't think it would be, because someone was going to go west. The Giants were going. I mean, the short-term answer is it would have delayed the national fascination with baseball that was brought about by television. But in the long term, Western expansion was inevitable. And during the down days of baseball, immediately after the strike, I don't think New York could have supported three teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. We did find out a couple weeks ago that it sounds like New York's looking for another team eventually.
Potentially, so yeah.
Potentially. That would be
really interesting. Oh, you mean a good one.
What was that?
They're looking for a good team.
They have two terrific teams right now.
Yeah, they do. They won't last. I found out the other day where the name Dodgers came from. Did you know?
Yeah. It's really...
That's so Brooklyn. Folks at home, it's because in the old days when Brooklyn had trolleys, if you ran in front of the trolley, you were known as a trolley dodger. So, but it's like, you know, there are sports teams that have names that make no sense. The New Orleans Jazz made perfect sense. There is no Jazz in Utah. You know, the Minnesota Lakers made perfect sense, the land of 10,000 lakes. The name makes no sense in California.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. And I've always wondered about that, why they don't change names to make it more geographically appropriate. But LA Dodgers, though, like, that's such a brand. It's become
The point. I mean, although the Jazz have never been a big deal anywhere, so I think you can take that name and get away with it.
This is very controversial.
I grew up in Utah. Right south of Salt Lake in the Provo area, right where BYU is.
Well, Provo is interesting because Provo. Oh wait, it's not Provo. Where's the skiing? North of
Park City.
Yeah, Park City. When I was writing the book, I featured a place in Salt Lake that makes lobster rolls because they actually won Down East Magazine's best lobster roll in the entire known world competition 1 year. Although they're from Boston, so you know.
Sure, but, of course they are.
We were discussing Park City is not Utah. Park City is a bunch of transplanted New Yorkers and Californians who like to ski. So it was a very different environment. Now, Provo is the college town, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Where's West Valley? That's just south?
It's by Salt Lake.
Southwest of Salt Lake City.
Yeah, when I was with ABC, I did one of the first pieces on the explosion in methamphetamines. And we centered it on... I just mentioned the place.
West Valley.
Mostly because there was a cop there who was really good at undercover and would let us in. But the fact is,
it's awesome.
There was a major problem.
I think there's still a major problem.
Everybody, kind of like Breaking Bad, I guess. Everyone cooking meth in their underwear.
Yeah, that's right.
pretty much.
Do right, N95 masks before they were popular.
Okay, last question for you, and then we'll take a break. Would you sign a petition to have Rob Manfred decommissioned. That's the word that we're using, decommissioned.
No, because all of these commissioners do what the owners tell them to do. It's, you know, is he good for the game? No. Was Bart Giamatti good for the game? Theoretically, but no, because he was a rebel. Look, you're an employee of the owners. If it's decided that the way to jazz up the game is the designated hitter in both leagues, it's going to happen. Personally, I've never liked the designated hitter. I think it's a terrible idea. But, you know, no, the game doesn't stay static. Hell, they lowered the mound in 1969 because in 68, the only American League player to hit 300 was Yastrzemski at 301. I mean, you know, they play with the statistics. It's like in basketball, Kareem just came out and pointed out that he's still the scoring leader and he only made 1 3-point shot. Yeah, all of today's numbers are skewed by the 3-point shot. It's apples and oranges. You know, people say in argument that Babe Ruth, you know, it was a million years ago. He's not the greatest home run hitter. Really? You find me someone today who hits as many home runs as all the other teams combined, and he can be the greatest home run hitter.
Thank you.
There you go. I offended Brig deeply last night comparing Daniel Vogelbach to Babe Ruth.
Oh, man. I'll never be the same. Our relationship took a huge, huge hit.
Okay. Great.
That's... Mostly it's body shape, but anyway.
Uh-huh.
Stop. No, if it's body shape, I could play.
The first rule of holes, Brad, is when you're in one, stop digging.
Let's take a quick
buy a ladder. You can always do it.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about stadium food with David.
Welcome back, baseball family. We have a very special guest for you today. We're excited to bring him on. 4-time All-Star, 8-time Gold Glover, World Series champion, and owner of one of the greatest catches in MLB history. He's currently an analyst for the Cardinals TV. We have Jim Edmonds. How are you, Jim?
I'm good. You look like you're reading your notes over there. So I just want to
read my notes.
Yeah, I'll call you out a little bit on that. No, kidding. I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Well, we appreciate you being here. We are really excited to talk about a couple of things. Specifically, we want to know, we want to get let our fans know you a little bit better. So we're going to break the ice with a rundown that we do. You're going to be ready to get caught in a rundown. We're going to rapid fire hit you with some questions. You ready?
Yep.
First question, what is your quest?
My quest is over. I just want to be left alone now. I don't have a quest. I don't have a quest. I'm trying to be a good father, a good husband, and a good person. That's my quest now. I tried the baseball thing. It worked out for a while, but this part of life is a lot tougher.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really is.
All right, next question. What is your favorite color?
Red for the Cardinals.
Awesome. If the Cardinals were a beverage, what would they be?
Tequila. Yeah. Is that family friendly?
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah, that's fair.
Diet Coke or tequila?
Maybe tequila in a Diet Coke.
And just ice.
Right.
Besides original, what is the best sunflower seed flavor?
Oh, man. Gosh, I really don't like them. I guess I could deal with barbecue the most. I got kids, man, and my son, he's got the dill pickle and the ranch and they have fire. Like, I'm just like, don't they just have the old school David with the little red and blue and or whatever it is? And I go in there and I'm like, do you guys have sunflower seeds? And they're like, yeah, they're right there. I'm like, oh, those are sunflower seeds. So many different kinds, you know, it's unbelievable.
It's true. It's true. Mm-hmm. Other than your sunflower seed opinion, do you have another unpopular opinion?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's on my mind. I guess because I turn on Fox News every morning and or all the news channels. But yeah, I'm not a big fan of what's going on in the world right now. Sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is sad. Yeah. Is there a maximum allowable age that it's appropriate for an adult to bring a baseball glove to a baseball game?
No. Well, okay, let's two different angles on this. I would say no before, but now the net. So I would say that you don't need a baseball glove if you're, you know, sitting down low. But no, I think that I'm going to go backwards. I'm sorry. Yeah, maybe as a grown man, I think you don't need a glove if you're a grown man, right? What do you guys think?
I'm talking about it all the time.
I'm going to go with like 18, 16. Okay. I don't know. My son doesn't take a glove to the games and he's 16. So I think he either get out of the way or own it. But I have one piece of advice for everyone out there. Do not try to catch a foul ball that is coming in hot. Get out of the way.
Yeah, nice. I think you're right on that. Follow-up question on that, though. What if you are sitting in the outfield, though? Is that coming in pretty hot out there? I mean, I've honestly never caught a home run ball, so I don't know how fast that's coming in. It seems like it'd be coming in pretty quick. Well, I've got little, like, girly hands, and I don't want to break a finger.
You don't look like you have girly hands with that, you know, that maybe that beard. Is he hiding behind that beard? Yeah.
Yeah. Compensating.
No, I think that you can handle it. I don't think that it's going to be an easy catch, but it, you know, by all means, it's slowing down a little bit.
Awesome.
Good to know.
I'm going to use that on the broadcast, though. I like that question. I'm going to ask Danny that.
Yeah.
Excellent. I love it.
My next question is, what is your favorite baseball movie?
I think Bull Durham, maybe. I think it's really the only one I've really gotten through. You know, some of the other ones that are far-fetched, I think it's the closest one to maybe being real. I love Kevin Costner. He's a friend of mine. He's from Southern California. Gotten to meet him a bunch. I really like his movies. But I really think Bull Durham is probably as close, as realistic as you can get.
Like start to finish or just the baseball parts?
Kind of the whole – I don't know about start to finish, but the good portion of it. Like even the whole – thing with the mom housing the players. I don't know about the relationship part, but it seems a little awkward with Nick Lelouch or whatever his name is. Nick Lelouch.
Yeah.
I think the whole thing, like, you know, guys meet like that, what is her name? Millie, and they get married mm-hmm. right there in the field, and then the baseball part, and then guys trying to, you know, figure out a way to get a day off with the rain delay and the sprinklers and the drinking and the bus rides and the fights and all. Yeah, I think it's pretty realistic. It really is. Yeah, I think he did a really nice job capturing, even though what people probably don't think it's real, but pretty good job.
That's awesome.
Love it. If baseball was an ice cream flavor, what would it be?
That's a really strange question. I don't know. I can't answer that one. I guess. Skip. Let's come back to that one.
Okay.
All right.
Would you sign a petition to have Rob Manfred decommissioned?
I don't know if it's his fault what goes on in the world today with baseball, or if it's just the baseball path that's been created over time. I try not to get involved in that stuff. I actually, to be honest with you, don't. When I go home, I shut it down. You know, I didn't follow the strike. People kept asking me what's going on and the lockout and all that, because it kind of just goes up and down so much each day. I just felt like, and even when I played, I didn't really pay attention to all the offseason moves. I just figured when it's time to go to work, I'll know who's on my team. When it's time to go to work now, I'll know that where my broadcasts are going to be, and I'll go from there. I don't like to get caught up in all of that that stuff. So I'm going to say no. I wouldn't. I don't think we need a new commissioner just as yet, because I think anyone else out there is probably going to be stuck in the same boat. You know, I think the baseball issues have been the issues of time. You know, the one thing I do not like is change. I think they're trying too hard to change the sport to make it something else. And I just, you know, it's kind of like watching the NFL now. If you kind of touch the quarterback, even though I think it's important to protect the quarterback, especially with the speed of the game now, I think that they need to like tighten it up a little bit. And same with baseball. I think they need to go back to some of the rules and kind of just baseball's baseball. You can't, you know, it's not meant to be sped up or slowed down or, you know, the double play thing drives me insane, even though the double plays that our team turns is they're unbelievable because now you throw the ball to second base at any time and it can't be broken up. So I guess if you have a team like that, you want to see the second baseman saved. But I also think that the old school ways of getting a run across, breaking up a double play is part of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. We actually had a guest on last week that kind of changed our thought on the commissioner, that we've been like our lane for a long time had been that he does need to be out as commissioner. Like, but we kind of softened on that. So
tell me why. I'd like to hear this. I think it's interesting.
Yeah. He said that it was the owners. He's basically an employee of the owners. Yeah. And you know, they're calling the shots. He's kind of the scapegoat figurehead. And we're all calling for his head on a pike, but we don't have the full information. That's basically what we said.
That's actually really true. And if you think about that, how bizarre is the fact that the commissioner of baseball is run by the ownership and not a group? And that's why I was saying time has put that man there. You know, even when Bud Selig was there, no one really liked him, but he was just doing what he was told to do. Yeah. And, you know, the strikes and the lockouts and stuff are going to happen. I wish they would I wish they could figure out a way to manage it where it's just on an escalating scale and a percentage that will stay in place for, say, 20 years. Because I think the fans don't want to see this every 2 and 3 and 4 years. And the one thing, too, also is, you know, like there's so many things that can be honed in as far as the salary caps and the money spent versus money taken in. And then the players are asking to up the, you know, the minimum salary from, say, $550 to $8 or whatever. It's pennies compared to all of the other stuff that comes after you make your mark. So I see it both ways. And I just think there's too much asking on both sides to just kind of keep the game flowing for the sake of the game. But I do agree with whoever that was, as he is just a kind of a little bit of a figurehead.
Yeah.
No. Which current MLB pitcher would you take yard, and not just yard, but the deepest?
Man, I don't know. I've learned to respect the game a little bit more, but I'm going to say Adam Wainwright, just because he's my buddy and I'd love to hit a home run off of him.
That's great.
I owe him. He struck me out a couple times when I was with the Brewers, so I owe him one.
Last question for you. What baseball movie needs to be made? Is there a storyline that you've been a part of or have always loved that really just needs to be made into a film?
You know, the thing with baseball is the you know, in the past was so wide open. I don't know if you could like let everyone know what was going on behind the scenes. I love the Rick Ankiel story, the book. I think the minor leagues, the real minor league story, would be cool if someone that maybe went through the minor leagues for 10, 11 years, and then got called up. You see it starting to happen a little bit more. But I also think the Latin story, I think, is important. I think the Cuban story would be amazing. You know, we were just doing a thing. Jorge Soler was just here with us playing against the Cardinals. And, you know, I believe the story was he was 18 and him and his father took a boat over to get out of Cuba. I mean, can you imagine that story? And I think they're on the boat for a while, not just a day or two. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they risked everything, you know, and there's a few of those guys. I think that, you know, when those players actually still talk about it, the tears come to their eyes of what the, you know, the opportunity opens up and the chances that their family could still be punished back in Cuba. I think that's an interesting story. I think the minor league to get to the big leagues over time is a good one. But I think that the Latin story, even the Dominican and the Edgar Renteria in Colombia, but the Cuban story is pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah, those would be awesome. I hadn't even thought about that.
That'd be great. Edgar, Edgar Renteria told me that they would hit a bottle cap with a broomstick, and his glove was a milk carton growing up. So I think those are untouched.
Yeah, they are.
That's awesome.
Well, that's a great one to end on. Let's go ahead and take a quick break. When we get back, we're going to get into more of the nitty-gritty and everything with Jim Edmonds.
Welcome back, baseball family, to another episode of the Baseball Together podcast. We have a special guest with us here. DC Glenn is in the house. Yeah. How you doing, DC?
I'm doing wonderful. How you good gentlemen doing?
I'm doing great.
Thank you.
appreciate you being here with us. We're going to go into jump into a rundown really quick, and then we'll give you a chance to introduce yourself. But we're going to break some ice real quick. First question on the rundown is, what is your quest?
My quest to have it all. Plain and simple. I want it all. That's it. Now, you know, I mean, people are, you know, I'm a motivational speaker, and I ask people that question all the time because people are always complaining. And I'm like, what do you want? And they don't even know. They can't even answer that question because they're so, you know, ecstatic about being in their own misery. And they're like, well, what do you want? I'm like, I want it all. And that's what I prepare for. That's what I hustle every day for. So I know that's a general answer, but I'm so serious. By the end of this conversation, you'll know why.
I love it.
That's a great answer.
It's a fantastic answer. Okay, next question. What is your favorite color?
My favorite color is Fiji Island sea blue. Because it's not just any blue. It's the blue that you see on the movies where it just the ultimate look of paradise. That's my favorite color. That type of blue.
Man.
I actually have it on. That's funny.
I was going to say, is that the color of your shirt? You know,
my shirt.
I knew a guy who spent a couple years in Fiji, and he told me, he's like, the beaches in Fiji hit different.
Yep.
It's different than Hawaii. He's like, Hawaii is ugly compared to Fiji.
Oh, Fiji is because it's untapped somewhat. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And that's its true nature. You know what I mean? But I mean, the whole world is kind of touched by things being thrown in the ocean, but there are certain places where you still can find the blue water. And that's the type of blue that I like.
I love it. Next question. If your favorite baseball team were a beverage,
mm-hmm.
what would it be?
My favorite baseball team. Well, I don't know, but I know I love Sunkissed Orange, so if it falls under Sunkissed Orange that's in Atlanta, I'm good.
That's awesome.
I guess next season the Braves are going to change their uniforms to orange.
Special edition.
Yeah. Exactly. the scoop, there it is edition.
That's right.
like that sherbet orange. That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
I'd be here for that.
That's the city series. Call Nike. Get them on the phone.
Yeah, there we go. Exactly. There we go. Besides original, what is the best sunflower seed flavor?
Original, probably salt and vinegar.
Is that a first? That.
I've never that had first? That. That's huh? The first time we've had that one, and I've never had it. But man, I got to jump on that.
Either salt and vinegar or dill pickle.
Oh yeah, Brad's got an opinion about dill pickle.
I do have an opinion about dill pickle, but I'm gonna save it for another day.
Yeah.
but no, I'm gonna have to go find myself some salt and vinegar seeds like today. Because I am a compulsive sunflower seed eater. I keep this at my desk.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, all day long.
All day long.
That's right. Next question. Is there a maximum age that it's appropriate to bring a baseball glove to a ball game?
No.
Whew.
Think about it. This is how you get away with it. You can bring a baseball game to a, you can bring a baseball glove to a game. As long as if you catch a ball, you give it to a kid.
7,000% agree.
Yep. It's the only way you get away with it.
That's right.
If you don't, that's some, every woman in the stands is looking at you like, that's so lame. And then probably everyone's looking at you like, I wish I could bring my glove to the game. hey, whatever your choice is, as long if somebody says to you, "What man, you too old to be bringing," I said, "No, nah, man, I bring these to the game. So if I catch a ball, I can give it to a kid." That's how you get away with it. Mm-hmm. Can't nobody argue.
Noble answer. No, you're right. You're right. Love it.
Yeah. And if you bring your own kid to the game, then it's easy.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Both got gloves. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. All the single dudes out there, start taking notes. If you're a single dad, you start taking notes.
Yeah, there's a chick you like, take her son to the game.
Oh, that's easy.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right. What is the name of your autobiography?
Learn How to Learn.
Wow.
Plain and simple.
It's deep. I like it.
Because that's what I live by. It's not enough to just learn. Mm-hmm. You got to learn how to learn. Right? When you learn how to learn, then the world is open to you. You're not doing what everybody else is doing. You're not doing the same mundane things. You see things clearly. Right? They call me DC, the brain supreme, for a reason. And I live by that motto. I hustle. I play offense and I just keep it moving, right? I stay positive. I look at the glass half full, not empty. And I just keep it pushing. And I love to learn because that is the thing that sets you free. That is the thing that makes you ambidextrous in life, right? Anything that comes at you, you can handle it because you've educated yourself in tactics that can overcome any type of negative emotion or negative thing that happens to you. And you just end up learning how to flip something negative into something positive because we are living in a bizarro world, whether you want to believe it or not. Right?
Yeah.
Right now we're in the bizarro world, but who says you can't flourish in the bizarro world, right? It's just another world. So how do you bring positivity and flourish in that world when everybody's being negative? And those are the things that learning how to learn will help you achieve. I'm deep. Sorry.
Man.
I love it.
It's fantastic. I love it too.
Hey, man, I'm different. You know what I'm saying? Hustler, right? And these are just tactics. These are tactics to help you get what you want. These are tactics to help you impose your will. You know, I had a post the other day. I said, what did it say? It said, I forgot what it said. It said something about, I can't remember it. I'll remember it later on. Let's keep moving. It's good.
Yeah.
I'm getting old. It happens. Right?
That'll happen. I hear that's what happens.
That's what happens.
All right, I got next question for you. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Let's see. Who is my dad? Kind of like, you know, like in the context of Pedro.
Yeah.
Right?
Or yeah.
Pedro.
Is that what you're talking about in the context of Pedro?
It's a quote from Kindergarten Cop.
Actually, okay, so my father has passed, right? But he's still my daddy because he's taking care of me in spirit. And ever since he's passed, my life has just flourished. And I have no words for it. So it's all good. It is all good.
Man, we're going to stop asking you lighthearted questions.
It's Pedro. Money.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah. Money is my daddy.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Definitely, man. So, hey, man, it's all good.
All right, DC, if you could be a celebrity guest on any game show, what would it be? What is your game show of choice?
Game show of choice? That's a good one. Family Feud.
Happy. I like that. I like that show. It's so fun.
It's yeah, the I mean, best. You know, those are the ones you grew up with, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have to say Family Feud, you know, because it just, there's nothing better. And it's easy. It's easy for everybody, right? It's not one of those ones where it just, okay, this is boring. Let's get to the good part. Family Feud is just from the beginning to the end is good. Now, if we go old school, maybe the Gong Show. So maybe that one, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good one, though. It is for everybody. You don't have to be, like, ultra smart, like on Jeopardy, like know a bunch of useless stuff. But, yeah, it's fun.
Definitely.
Steve Harvey does a great job, too. I love that guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. Okay, last question from me. Is if baseball were an ice cream flavor, what is it? What's baseball's ice cream flavor?
French vanilla, Rocky Road, chocolate, peanut butter, cookie dough, scoop, baby. I had to. I'm sorry. You had to.
Briggs gonna lob you in a meatball. You're gonna hit it out of the park. I love it. That's fantastic.
I'm just grooving them right now.
Let's end on that one. Let's take a quick break. When we get back, we got more at DC Glenn.
Welcome back, baseball family. We have a really exciting opportunity to talk to Michael Seeley today. As you can see, he's right here, if I can get the pointing correct. Michael Seeley's here. He's a mental performance coach. He specifically works with athletes, but he's also a psychotherapist. Is that correct, Michael?
That's correct.
Awesome. And we're going to get into what it takes to be in the mind of an athlete, what baseball players go through specifically, and how that might be different from what the normal population goes through. But before we do that, you know, we got to go through a rundown. So you're going to get caught in the rundown, Michael, and we're going to hit you with a bunch of questions starting right now. Our first question always is, what is your quest?
What is my quest? My quest is to help athletes perform their best so that they can up-level everybody in their sport and inspire the fans.
Awesome.
Keeping it simple, right? If that's going on, everyone's happy.
I like
that's
it.
That's awesome.
That's great. My question for you is, what is your favorite color?
Red. Passionate. Awesome. It's always been that way. I've kind of gone back and forth. I've liked like gold before and blue, but like red is just, you know, it just shouts. So
yeah, that's awesome. First of all, what's your favorite baseball team?
Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay, so I grew Milwaukee.
Ahead. I grew up in Wisconsin. So like it's kind of dyed in the wool. Like I've always loved them. So that's some loyalty there. Second would probably be the SF Giants. I lived in the San Francisco Bay Area for quite a while. So
awesome. Yeah. And if the Brewers were a beverage, what would they be?
Wow. If they were a beverage, that's interesting. Well, I mean, clearly beer would be the answer. I'm trying to be imaginative, but I mean beer, right? So
yeah, that's awesome.
There you go. That was my first thought with the Brewers.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Besides original, what is the best sunflower seed flavor?
Whew. Wow, not a big sunflower seed eater, but I'm gonna say like barbecue. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good solid choice.
It is strong choice, especially with Chinook Cedary. I have to plug it because it's so good. But man,
best. It is the best. Next question for you: is there a maximum age where it's appropriate or inappropriate to bring a ball glove to a baseball field as a you know, a viewer?
Yeah, a maximum age. Interesting. You know, it kind of makes me think like if somebody is, you know, 80. To 90 years old and they catch a ball glove, like that's amazing. But maybe there's a zone where that's kind of like you might not want to do it, which might be, I don't know, 30 to 70, I think. Yeah.
But right. That's okay. A no-go. Yeah.
Bring your glove, have fun, you know?
Yeah.
That's probably the most comprehensive answer we've gotten, because a lot of people like, it's fine. You know, you catch a ball, you give it to a kid, and that's how you justify bringing your glove to the game. But we had Jim Edmonds on. He said, no, don't do it. You don't need to. He's like, either get out of the way because you don't want to catch it anyway because it's coming in too hot, or just own it and catch it barehanded. And I was like, I don't know. I'll break a finger. I'm really worried about that. But
I think the
bare handed catch is pretty cool. So
it is cool, especially with the beer in the one hand and the catch in the other. Like, that's impressive.
Yeah.
What is the name of your autobiography?
Make the Break. Meaning, this my big sport was bicycle racing, and there's a thing called a breakaway where you break away from the pack. And I discovered how to do that when I was a teenager. And I've told the story about that. It's a big, long story, but it's actually a book I'm working on. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Great.
That's fantastic. We're going to have to talk about that in the main segment of the interview. But what I want to know is, what is your most unpopular baseball opinion?
My most unpopular baseball opinion. I would say, you know, do away with the cameras for the judging the pitches, you know, that the instant replays on the pitch, like, that's just, to me, that's just not baseball. And yeah. Some of my friends who are my age agree. Some of the younger folks are like, yeah, no, it's good. It actually improves the sport. I'm like, I don't care if you're logical, you're just wrong. Like, it just, there's something about tradition, and baseball is such a traditional sport, and it's just, I mean, that's like half the sport right there. It's just a tradition, in my opinion. So there you go.
I'm a traditionalist, so I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a little more liberal with baseball, yeah. But anyway. If you could have one piece of baseball memorabilia from history, what would it be?
I would say a jersey from when the Brewers went to the World Series in 1982, any one of the players on that team. That would be awesome. I have that on my wall. It would be amazing.
That's awesome. Is there any particular player that you can call back to that really just has stuck with you?
Robin Yount, if you remember him.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course.
Very, very solid player. Always had great batting average, great fielder, great charisma. Yeah. He would probably be my favorite.
That's awesome. What is your go-to food at the concession stand?
Well, having seen a number of Brewers games, it would be a brat, not a hot dog, but a brat, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Definitely like a beer battered brat. and if you're in Milwaukee, maybe deep fried cheese curds.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And stack that up, chase it with a good cold beer, and that's heaven right there.
That's awesome.
If baseball was an ice cream flavor, what would it be?
Wow. Baseball was an ice cream flavor. For some reason, Cherry Garcia comes to mind. That Ben & Jerry's. Yeah. I don't really know why. I'd probably have to be psychoanalyzed for that to really get to the bottom of that answer. I don't know.
So. All right, last two questions for you. My last question is, if you're a celebrity guest on a game show, what show is it?
God, I haven't watched game shows in a long, long time. But doesn't Steve Harvey have a Family Feud? Does he do
yeah.
that?
No. Yeah, sure does.
Yeah, it'd probably be that just because I like Steve Harvey. So
who doesn't, honestly?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he's so great on that show. So yeah. Good. All right, last question. What is your walk-up song?
Wow, what's my walk-up song? It'd probably be We Will Rock You by Queen.
Love
right?
Queen.
I mean, that's, you know, stomping your feet on the bleachers, you know, the clapping, like... That's the classic one.
Yeah. How has that not great. Made it to one of our walk-up song episodes, Brig?
I have no idea. I don't know. So probably because it's such a bold pick that who would you assign that to is probably part of the problem. But that's fantastic.
You're probably right. Yeah, you're
have
probably
to back right. It up, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
All right, Michael, baseball family, we're gonna take a quick break. When we get back, we're gonna dive deeper into what Michael does.
Welcome back, baseball family. Today we have a very special guest, somebody I'm very excited to talk to today, somebody I've actually listened to a lot, David Sampson. He is a former MLB executive and current host of the Nothing Personal with David Sampson podcast. Welcome, David. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Well. We're excited, really happy. So we thought we'd give everybody a chance to get to know David. So we're going to do the same thing with him that we do with all of our guests. He's going to get a rundown. So first, David, first question, are you ready?
I'm ready. Bring it on. I'm distracted by the Expos cap, but I'm going to get through it.
Okay, first question. What is your quest?
Vision. What is my quest? Seriously, you're asking me that? Yeah. My quest in life, my quest in work. Should I just answer the first thing that comes to mind? My quest is to end world hunger. No, I don't know. No, I guess my quest is if I can entertain at least one person at least four times during the course of 45 minutes every day on Nothing Personal, that is my current business quest, to entertain, educate, and inform people on subjects and have a little bit of fun at the same time. I love doing that.
That is awesome. That's right in line with ours. Next question, what is your favorite color?
Red.
Nice.
Good.
All right, Brad.
All right, if baseball were an ice cream flavor, what would it be?
Chocolate chip cookie dough. It tastes so good, and then you get sick if you eat too much.
That's my favorite ice cream.
It's so good. You're right. Too much is not a good thing. If your favorite ball club were a beverage, what would it be?
Grape knee-high.
Grape knee-high. Can you explain that a little bit?
Excellent choice, Radar.
It's the first thing that came to mind. It's what Radar drinks on MASH.
Yeah.
And I love grape soda. I've always loved Welch's grape soda or any sort of grape soda. And hey, we're playing word association. You could ask me anything.
Bingo. That's awesome.
We're going to stick with food for a minute. What is your go-to food from the concession stand?
So I don't eat food from concession stands because I was there for 18 years and I figured if I start that, I'll never stop. But I will answer and say peanuts.
Peanuts, Brad's favorite.
I ate peanuts. I ate either peanuts or pumpkin seeds every game for 18 years.
Wow.
Did you ever dip into sunflower seeds or just stick with
peanuts?
And, yeah.
I don't like the barbecued sunflower seeds or the jalapeno sunflower seeds, and I don't de-shell them. So what players do, I had some players teach me that you can actually do it in your mouth with your tongue. You can crack it open, split it, and then spit it out and just keep the seed. To me, that just seemed like a lot of effort for very little payoff. So it's sort of like when you've got edamame that you can't open, you just sort of get rid of it and move on to the next one. Like if you have a sunflower seed where the crack isn't big enough to get the shell open immediately, then forget it. I'm going to move on. But I would eat the full sunflower seeds. And right during a bad time in a game when we were giving up a run or blowing a lead, I always associated it with swallowing a sunflower seed that wasn't chewed properly, and then it scratches the back of your throat, and you're worried about choking, so you need water or grape knee-high. But I'm going to say yes, sunflower seeds, pumpkin seeds, peanuts.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I have to do the whole seed deshelling in my mouth, especially like if I'm coaching now as a dad with a son in Little League. I have to do that while I'm coaching. I have to do it while I play old man softball too, because it's one of those things where it like separates the brain, keeps you from getting too stressed and overworked. I have to do it that
those
way.
Those Little League games, man, they'll give you a heart attack. I hear you. Don't you worry though when you're doing the sunflower seed splitting in the mouth, and then in theory you're supposed to spit out the shell that you've separated. Two bad things can happen. One, while spitting out the shell, you could by accident spit out the seed as well, which means you've totally wasted your time splitting the shell. Or two, you could spit it out and it doesn't go all the way out, and you've got like a sunflower seed thing like on your chin or next to your mouth. Isn't that the worst?
I've gotten them stuck in my beard before.
Oh yeah, that's attractive. That must really
it's so super nice. Attractive. Yeah. And it's always one of my assistant coaches like, hey, right here, man. Right here.
Yeah. That's how Brad and I met, actually. I was like drawn to him because we both had seeds in our beards.
Did you pick each other's seeds out of
we
your
did.
Beards?
No.
It's a very romantic moment.
A tear in my eye right now.
David, how would baseball be different if the Dodgers had not left Brooklyn?
Oh, that's a, so I would say the Yankees and the Mets, the Yankees would have won fewer World Series. And I think that Citi Field never would have been built. And I think that Steinbrenner never would have bought the Yankees. So I think it would have changed everything about baseball in New York.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
What is the best baseball movie?
So my number one is obvious to everybody, but to me it really is. I watch it all the time, is Field of Dreams. I love Eight Men Out. I love Leave Their Own. I do like The Natural very much. There are some, For Love of the Game was fine because I love Costner and you can't go wrong with Kelly Preston. I mean, there's so many great. Sandlot is a great movie, which I enjoyed tremendously. Bad News Bears with Walter Matthau. I didn't like the Billy Bob Thornton or all the Bad News Bears go to Japan or they break training. I'm an original Bad News Bears, Walter Matthau, Tatum O'Neill guy. So there's so many great base. There's got to be way more great baseball movies than any other sport, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Baseball and boxing are the two sports given over to the drama of cinema. Best, I think.
So I was thinking about that. Like Million Dollar Baby and Ali and The Fighter. There really are a lot of The Raging Bull. I mean, there's a lot of good boxing movies. There are not a lot of great basketball movies. I got in so much trouble recently for giving Hustle a bad review, which is the new Adam Sandler movie on Netflix. Yeah. I just, it bored me. Like The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh was fine. Fast Break was amazing with Gabe Kapler. Mm-hmm. Or Kaplan. Gabe Kapler's the manager of the Giants. Gabe Kaplan from Welcome Back, Kotter. There's a couple good ones. I love The White Shadow. Did you ever watch that series?
Mm-mm.
That's a basketball series starring Ken Howard. Anyway, I'm old. You guys together are not even my age. I can't even talk about it.
So what baseball movie needs to be made? If there's a storyline that is yet to be told, fiction or nonfiction, what baseball movie would you make?
By the way, Major League, how could I forget? Do you know what I keep next to me in my studio? I don't know. Are we on camera? Is this audio, video?
Yeah,
both. We're on camera. Oh, yeah, okay. Go ahead.
So.
Oh, look at that. Are you kidding me?
That's awesome.
Jake Taylor, baby.
That's awesome.
Wow.
It's right next to me every single. I keep that, if we're going to get personal right now, even though it's called Nothing Personal. I have that. I've got a room list from when we were checking into a hotel in, what year was this? This is the Florida Marlins, probably in 2003, when this was a room list. I have no idea why that's in my desk. Forget it. What was the question?
Baseball movie needs to be made.
Oh, I want to do a movie about Ichiro. I want to do a movie about his work ethic and how he operates and functions as a perfectionist in his craft. And how he turned back time in a way that Cher never could, and knowing from his time in Japan to his time ending his career with Seattle, playing in Japan for those last couple games, what he did on and off the field, because I think people would really benefit from understanding that you can be the most talented person in the world, but it's routine, it's hard work, it's discipline, because the difference between people who are really good and people who are historically good and people who end up being nothing is work ethic. And Ichiro's work ethic is something that would transcend a baseball story. So I think families would go to it, non-baseball fans would go to it. So that's the movie I would make.
That's awesome. Brad, I'm going to cut you off. Right. I have one more question tangentially. David, Crash Davis or Jake Taylor?
Jake Taylor. I have to. I have to for several reasons. One, I was born in Milwaukee, and Major League was filmed at County Stadium. It was actually filmed in Milwaukee, not in Cleveland.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So if you look at the stadium in Major League and you look at the Jumbotron, they forgot, because they didn't have the budget, to cover up WTMJ, which is the Milwaukee station, which is on the Jumbotron in Cleveland Municipal Stadium, which is supposed to be Cleveland, but it's really Milwaukee. I had a bunch of people I know who were extras in the stadium during the game against the Yankees. And just the concept, we always felt like, right, I always felt like the Cleveland Indians running teams with low budgets like your Expos and the Marlins, trying to win when everyone thought you weren't going to win. And just the concept of the way Jake Taylor bunts and gets that hit to score a run. Anyway. I was about to say a bad word, but I'm not going to say it. But you may hit like Mays or run line, whatever. Keep going.
Yeah.
Major League.
Awesome.
Awesome. All right, last one for you. Okay. Would you sign a petition to have Rob Manfred decommissioned? That's our word, decommissioned.
No, I would actually sign a document to have him extended. I don't think you guys realize that Rob Manfred does his job better than Bud Selig did his job. Because Bud Selig governed baseball by trying to get 30 votes on every issue, and he would buy votes from teams, and I don't mean with money, with favors. So right. He would keep track, hey, you got to support me on this, and I'm going to support you on that. And it was a back and forth compromise all the time. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. It was ruled by fear and sort of just sort of some crazy stuff. The way that Rob operates is he knows he only needs 23 votes to get something passed. So if you're one of the seven against him, forget it. It's fine. You're a no. I'm moving on. And he is totally misunderstood because he's not good at PR. Like he's a lawyer. So he's not good when he has a microphone in front of him. And not everybody can be the way the three of us are, right? Not everybody's comfortable in front of a microphone and a camera. But that's not really what he's paid to do by the owners. He's paid to increase the value of their teams, and he's paid to keep revenue going and money in their pockets. And he's really good at that.
True. I think that's the answer we needed, Brig. Honestly, yeah. That's the explanation we've needed for a long time. I really appreciate that, David.
Yeah, and we've speculated around that bullet point. We just don't like him.
Well, but let me ask you this. Have you met him?
No.
So speaking as someone who, when I write a book, I've never said this publicly, but I think I'm going to now. When I write a book, the title of the book is going to be First and 20. First and 20, as you know, is a football state of being where there's a holding penalty or something happens where instead of first and 10, it's first and 20. So you have longer to go, but the same number of downs. Mm. Whenever I meet people, I'm first and 20 because people associate me with, oh, you ruined the Expos. You stink with the Marlins. You traded away all my favorite players. You had the team leave, like all of the bad stuff. And they think I'm this ogre, this sort of rude, mean, unrelatable guy. So I'm first and 20, but I always get a first down because if you actually meet me, I'm totally normal. I'm fun. I love to hang out. I love to party. I love to do serious stuff and fun stuff. So the people who know me don't view me that way. So I'm first and 20. Rob Manfred is that. So if you met Rob, like, he's funny. And he loves to do funny things and have funny conversations. But when it's time to work, he works. When it's time to play, he plays. He can be absolutely serious to the point of night sweats when he wants something and you're not cooperating with it. But so can most people.
Yeah.
So he's a great father, a great grandfather, a great husband, a funny, interesting, smart guy. But people don't know him and they don't like him without having met him, which I don't want to be critical of you guys, but how can you say you don't like someone when you don't know them? You cannot like the things they do.
Correct.
How do you not like the man?
That's what it is. It's we as fans, we have taken issue with things that he's done with the league, like especially during the COVID season. Like that was really frustrating to us as fans that like you had this perfect opportunity to bring the league in and be the only thing to get eyeballs on and to grow the league that way. But they couldn't get the deal done, right? Yeah. It ended up getting pushed back. Basketball started. Almost felt like football was going to get started first, right?
But and you have to know why, right? I mean, they had a collective bargaining agreement they had to negotiate. Right. And he had
owners
who were telling him, if you want to keep making 10, 15 million bucks a year, you better not get absolutely torched on this CBA. So you better start now. And so they did. So I hear you may not like the things he does. Fair enough.
Correct.
But remember, he does nothing. Just FYI, all the stuff that you read or saw him do during the CBA, canceling games a week at a time or doing a 60-game season, he doesn't just sit in the commissioner's office and decide what he's going to do. He needs the owners to tell him and agree with him. If he has a plan and the owners agree, he does it. If he has a plan and the owners disagree with him, he does what the owners want. The owners are his boss.
Yeah. And I think that's one thing that it's hard for the fans to remember is that we see him as like almost like the overlord of baseball. It's like, no, he is the employee of the owners. Like
You're
he is
exactly
actually
right
under them. So
we pay him whatever 30 teams pay 1/30th of his salary.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a fascinating dynamic for him to have to you know, be out there and get crucified all the time, honestly.
I did it sucks. For a living, right? Every time there was bad news with the Marlins, I'm the one who announced it. Every time we did something good, it was the owner, Jeffrey Loria, standing there and saying, look what I did. So that's, you know, that's when you have a boss, that's what you do.
Yeah. True story.
It's true. All right, let's take a quick break. When we get back, we have so many questions to ask David about baseball. So we'll take a couple minutes. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, baseball family. We're here with Josh Trout. He is an artist. He has partnered with Topps in the past to bring us some of the most incredible baseball art that I have ever seen. I happen to have a print of my own. I'm really, really excited about it. And then we have some more special stuff to get into. But before we do that, we have got to get him into a rundown because that's just what we do. So, Josh, are you ready for the rundown?
Let's do it.
Okay. First question. First question. What is your quest?
I revert back to Monty Python and the Holy Grail there on that.
Yes.
So I scored points there.
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
One of two people to get the joke.
Yes. Yeah. But on the art side, my quest would be, I've kind of made it my goal to get into people's collections, especially if I see a super collector for a specific player or a team, then I kind of like have this internal drive, like, okay, I'm going to get in your collection. So that kind of fuels some stuff, but that's just, I mean, that's just a fun part of it. But ultimately I want to provide sports art that people enjoy. People have reminisce about their childhood and their memories, or if it's, you know, a younger audience, then something that they can afford. I mean, that's, I mean, nowadays I collected as a kid. I can't imagine collecting now, to be honest.
Yeah.
So doing the top stuff, that kind of helps me in get into that space. But then doing the artist autos on the reprints and that kind of stuff, you know, I try to price them to where I'm getting a little bit of a kickback to make it worth my time, but also it's not going to break the bank where you see some of these cards, what they're going for. So,
yeah,
very cool. Very cool. Okay. My first question is, what is your favorite color?
clear. No. On serious, what's my favorite color?
Yeah, what's your favorite color?
I don't know, man. I mean, I really don't have one. I don't lean any one way.
It's hard to ask an artist that question,
right?
I was going to say that's kind of the answer I'd expect from an artist.
That's a great answer, actually. All right, if the White Sox were a beverage, what would they be?
Pale ale. I don't know. isn't Abreu, isn't his nickname like the pale horse or something like that?
Is it?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't remember.
I could look it up really
quick.
Maybe
not.
I don't know. Okay.
Check me on that.
Besides original, what is the best sunflower seed flavor?
I love bacon, so I would think bacon, but I've had bacon and it's not good. I don't like it. So I would go with ranch.
Ooh, ranch.
And that's funny because I hate ranch, but I love ranch sunflower seeds.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
That's been a whole thing in Brad's life. It's like a whole thing.
Like when I discovered that when we did our blind taste test, that was literally life-changing. Absolutely.
Really? Wow.
Yes. Yeah. My entire paradigm shifted. I was like, well, then what else is there?
Let me write those notes down.
Yeah. Ranch. And jalapeno ranch by Chinook Seeds is the best one in our opinion. Specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, that does sound good.
It's really good.
Really good. Stupid good. All right. Next question. Who is your daddy and what does he do?
Well, my real dad's retired right now, so he basically putzes around.
That's the best.
He doesn't do hardly anything. And he's stubborn and he just does what he wants, I guess.
There you go.
That's awesome.
Which current MLB pitcher would you take yard?
Probably none of them. I never played I played T-ball, but I pretty much stood in the outfield and looked at the little clovers on the ground.
Preach.
So, yeah, I played a little bit. I'd sub with softball with friends in the past, but probably none.
That's fair. That's fair. If you could assign a flavor of ice cream to baseball itself, what flavor would it be?
Maybe Rocky Road, because it's for minor leaguers, you know, that's a long road to get to the bigs, and not a whole lot make it. And when they do, you know, you get an injury and then you're out. So that's what popped to mind right away.
That's a great answer.
That's solid. That's really good. Okay, you're a celebrity guest on a game show. What is the game show?
Oh, man. It's going to probably be something sarcastic or what's the game show, where they have, you know, five answers on the board, name
Family Feud.
Yeah. Maybe that.
Yeah. With Steve Harvey asking you stuff, and
yes,
you have to shut down the inappropriate answers that come to mind.
Exactly. Yes, that would be me, because I would think those for sure.
Yeah, me too. I love when they get them on the show, though. It just comes out, and right. Steve's like, "Your wife's right there." You know that, right?
Right. Those are the good YouTube clips.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's why the show's still on, I think.
All right, last question for me, and then one more from Brad. What is the best baseball movie ever, in your opinion?
So I had never seen Bull Durham, and people would always mention that, and then I watched it, but that was literally within probably the last year or so. And I was like, okay, it was good. I remember watching Field of Dreams and just kind of the impact that had when I watched it. So I think it really has to do with what age you are and timing in your life type stuff that impacts you the most. But I mean, Major League, I remember watching those, you know, those were fun to watch, but Field of Dreams always kind of stuck with me as just a kind of a feel good, just good movie, I guess. But I mean, I've heard that question asked many times, and I'm always right. listening or looking at what the answers are. I'm like, okay, I'll go try to watch some of these, but I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like it depends on what you're going for too.
Sure. Oh yeah, absolutely. Right?
Yeah. So yeah, I don't think there's any wrong answer to that. Okay, last question. What is your go-to food from the concession stand?
Seeing how I don't get to go to very many baseball games, I probably choose some sort of like just loaded up chili dog or something like that. Or having a good hot dog just to experience what those are, because I'm assuming each stadium is different in how they're loading up stuff. But I'm a sucker for any burger with bacon on it too. Or any chicken sandwich with bacon on it.
That's awesome.
I hear that.
Yeah. Now I'm getting
good deal.